right. Well, Jim, come on up. We are so glad to have you able to get a little bit of lunch before our program here. And no, you're good. You're good just like you are. Thank you for being here and for leading us today. I'm going to talk to him a little bit, just ask some questions, maybe a little bit of biography. Many of you know Jim. Some of you might not. Jim, I know you've been at South Main for over 50 years. It looked like I didn't pull your card, but I looked in our database and it looked like you had joined November 22nd, 1970. Does that sound right? No, I think you need to click it. There you go.
Now is it on?
Nope. There we go. Now you're on.
Yeah, Dr. Westmoreland was
nice.
Pastor when I joined. And back then we had Sunday night services, and I joined one Sunday night.
So. Nice, nice. Like, that's amazing. 52 years ago. And your dad was a minister. I know
yes.
He recently passed away in 2018. Milton Bradley.
Bailey.
Bailey. Milton Bradley made games, right?
Monopoly.
Made Monopoly and whatnot. Milton Bailey. And he passed away at age 104.
Right.
That's amazing. And I know this area, the Fellowship Hall is something that I guess you ran around as a kid. Tell us that story about your dad's.
He was president of the Houston Baptist Pastors Conference, and they met every Monday morning here in this room. And in the summers, I'd have to come downtown with my dad and sit through the meetings. But afterwards, all the pastors went bowling, so that was kind of fun.
I don't know if he was a good bowler or not, but and you've become a documentary filmmaker. It looked like some of your early work was in New York, related to the Brooklyn Bridge and some inside the town of Brooklyn in itself. Tell us a little bit about maybe your early years as a filmmaker, how you got into that.
Well, my uncles were in the business, and I worked for them. We did a lot of sports photography, public relations, advertising. And we had several big accounts in New York, so I spent a lot of time in New York. I practically lived there for about 4 years. And then we did documentaries on the Brooklyn Bridge, on the brownstone neighborhoods of Brooklyn, on different aspects of life in Brooklyn, and really gave me a great training for history and art and so forth.
Yeah. And, I mean, the Brooklyn Bridge, the history is so amazing. I don't know if I've seen your documentary. I think I saw the Ken Burns one, but just amazing history.
Yeah, he was there at the same time. I don't remember meeting him, but I guess we went in different directions there.
Wow, that's really neat. And then you've also worked through Rice.
Right, we did all the Rice photography. I traveled with the Rice football team for about 15 years, filming all their games and doing all of their official sports photography.
And then to Israel as well. Tell us what you did in Israel.
We went to Israel 4 times. We were sent over there by the Israeli consulate in Houston. We did programs on agriculture, solar energy. I spent a month on a kibbutz. We did a film on kibbutz life. So it was fun.
And you've become a member of a number of different boards and foundations. I know you're on the board, the Texas Foundation of the Arts, member of the the Houston Historical Commission?
No, I serve on the Harris County Historical Commission. We're appointed by the county judge.
So. Okay. And then the Rice Historical Society as well.
Right.
And what is Preservation Houston? I know you're a part of that as well.
Well, Preservation for Houston is a nonprofit that seeks to encourage preservation of historic buildings in Houston.
And what you're going to talk to us a little bit about today is the Golden Age of Texas courthouses, but I know you also had some other documentaries related to, the world of law and legal matters with a documentary about Leon Jaworski.
Right. We did a program on his life that aired on PBS, and that was quite interesting. We actually spent a lot of time at the Baylor Law School.
Oh, yeah. That's neat. And then talk to us a little bit about your interest in history and kind of where it intersects with art. I know you did a documentary called In Search of Houston's History and sort of the art of architecture in Houston, too. Talk to us about that.
Well, traveling around Texas, I guess I learned an appreciation for all things that are Texas and Texas history. Of course, back then we took Texas history in the 7th grade. Did all of y'all study Texas history in the 7th grade? So you really learned a lot about Texas history. And it just kind of evolved into, especially an appreciation of the courthouses.
And on the art side, I know you've worked on different programs related to a number of murals around Texas, murals at Jones Hall, some work at the Menil. Talk to us about kind of how your interest in art in particular came about and what you bring to your documentaries as far as that interest.
Well, I have to be honest. I have an associate, Kim Likens, who's more on the art side than I am. I'm more history, but she's always pushing the art side and dragging me into Jones Hall and the Menil Collection and these places. So it's been quite interesting. And I try to tie art and history together.
Yeah, I love that. That's right up my alley as well. Have you done a recent documentary about the new museum building and the architect related to that?
No, we haven't. I've been in it, but we haven't done a program on it.
Okay. I thought I saw something about who is that architect? Is it Japanese architect?
That was the Asian Society.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. I know you've also done some work about Post Oak Boulevard.
Right.
In particular. Tell us about that.
This was, I think, 3 years ago. We did a documentary on the history of Post Oak Boulevard called Post Oak Boulevard. And actually, it's a documentary on the whole west side of Houston. Very interesting, about the San Felipe Trail. Do y'all say San Felipe or San Felipe?
San Felipe.
I always judge native Houstonians because they say San Felipe. But very interesting in how all that developed out there. And, you know, what began the growth out there, of course, was the first Sackwood store when they opened on Post Oak way out on Westheimer. And it's interesting. We interviewed Gerald Hines about the Galleria. And he was telling us that they had to hold up construction on the Galleria for about 6 months because the family who owned the land would not give the land up until they had mowed all the hay because they wanted the money for that hay crop. So it's funny when you think the world's greatest shopping center was held up so they could mow the hay.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
So I asked him one time, I said, what would you have done differently? And he said, well, he would have made it bigger. And he said people told him when he built the Galleria that he was crazy, that, you know, it would never work with an ice skating rink.
Yeah. It's still there.
And it's still there. And the other interesting thing, I said, well, how did you get Neiman Marcus? You know, Neiman Marcus was the first building. He said, well, they gave Neiman Marcus the property. So they were pretty much attached to it, and then they built the Galleria attached to Neiman Marcus. So
interesting.
Very interesting.
Well, I'm going to turn it over to you in just a moment, but I'm just curious, how do you go about choosing your subjects when you're thinking about doing a movie?
Well, that's hard to say. Just things that we like to do, things that we have an interest in. We have to raise funds. We approach foundations and so forth for funding, so it also has to be a project that's fundable and that's of interest to the public. Then we approach PBS. We're one of the few producers in programs for Texas PBS stations. And we approach PBS, either the Austin or the Houston station, and say, would you be interested in this topic? And they say, yes, we won't pay for it, but if you could get it produced, we'd be happy to air it. So we have to get out and raise funds from foundations. And we get a letter of interest from the PBS that says, yes, we like this program and we'll air it if you can get it funded and paid for. So occasionally they'll turn down a program, but generally they like the ideas that we bring them because we do programs specifically on Texas, and nobody does that. People do national programs, but you hear a lot about Williamsburg and other historic sites, but you don't hear a whole lot on PBS about Texas. So we're one of the only producers that do that. Our programs have run in, like I said, Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Corpus Christi. We sent a teaser film or a teaser video down to the Corpus Christi station one time to say, would you air this program? And it was just a little DVD, and I called them a few weeks later, and I said, are you interested in the program? They said, interested? We've already aired it twice. So they didn't even ask us. They just ran it. So they don't pay us, so they get it for free.
Yeah. Well, how do you go about beginning? Do you do once you have your program, you kind of have, I guess, a narrative in mind. Do you do the research and then let that kind of – tell the story? Where do the interviews come in? Like, I could see how, you know, you may have an idea of this is what the story is going to be, but then when you do the research, it might evolve a little bit. Tell us about the process.
Exactly. We do the research first. We're working on one now on historic hotels of Texas. So we've identified what are the historic hotels, and you have to match that with what are kind of the legendary popular hotels in Texas. And you have to make it statewide, so it'll be of interest to everybody in the state. And then it has to be programs that somebody would want to fund. Let me ask you a question. What would you all consider the historic hotels of Texas? Any?
Like,
the Rice.
Maybe the Minger in San Antonio.
The Minger.
Driscoll.
The Adolphus. The Driscoll. All those are on our list.
Okay.
And, of course, the Shamrock.
Yeah.
The Gage Hotel, yes. The Galvez is on our list. Okay. We're talking to the new owners of the Galvez. And also the Tremont.
Yeah, good. Could get some Galveston there.
Yeah. And Russ Chaddick was telling me about the hotel. And is it in Plainview, Russ? That was a Hilton hotel. So we're going to look out. We're going to look out for that. So, Russ, if we do that hotel, we'll give you a credit in the film as co-producer. We're looking into that one.
That's neat. So once you've got your,
not only the Gage, but what's the one in Marfa, the Paisano? We're including that one too.
That's great. That sounds really interesting. So there's a lot of travel, I guess, too. And then once you have your footage, you kind of have your interview. How does the process develop? Like when you begin to edit, and that kind of walk us through how you get from we've got all the material. Now we need to get it, you know, in a form that can be enjoyed and watched.
Well, we conduct the interviews, and we hope they say what we want them to say. If not, we kind of guide them in that direction so that each interview is supposed to be a different highlight or a different aspect of the story. And then we take the interviews and pick out sound bites. People are always willing to talk, but they have to talk in sound bites, 30-second sound bites, and then put all those in order and then interweave a voiceover narrator to kind of tie together the sound bites, and then you match that with the visual. Actually, the visual is supposed to tell the story, but sometimes the narration has to move it along.
Yeah. And do you do the voice? You have a great voice. Do you do the voiceovers ever?
I did one. We did a documentary on saving the sea turtles, the endangered sea turtles, and they asked me to do the voiceover, and I hated it, so I never did. We usually hire a professional voiceover narrator. Okay.
And sometimes you just find somebody just golden, like they're just so good, and they kind of take over the whole process. I mean, it seems like whenever you watch a documentary, there's somebody that you always want to go back to because they're just so, you know, compelling.
Yeah, we have a couple that we go back to. We did one program a few years ago, and Ernie Manous at Channel 8 did the voiceover. And I saw him a few months later, and he said, I'm getting so many compliments, and people think it's my documentary. And I said, okay, Ernie, but we won't use you again.
You're out.
You're out as a voiceover narrator.
Well, I wanted to give everybody an introduction to you and to what you do, but mainly I want to hand it over to you to talk about the golden age of Texas courthouses. So you take it away, Jim, and maybe save us a little time to ask some questions at the end. All right.
I spoke to another group recently, and I asked the organizer how long I should speak, and she said, you can speak as long as you like, but we all leave promptly at 1 o'clock. So if you all start walking out, I'll know I've spoken too long. But, Greg, it reminds me of the Baptist pastor that asked his wife, said, honey, do you realize how many great pastors there are in this city? And she said, well, it's probably one less than you think. So, So on to historic county courthouses. I mean, Texas has some great county courthouses, and they're all different. They all have a great story to tell. And it all goes back to the Republic of Texas. And there were 24 Mexican municipalities that were organized. And then when we became an independent country, they became districts. And then they became counties. There were 24 of them. Harrisburg County, which is now Harris County, was founded in 1836. And we had a courthouse in 1838. Now, Bexar County extended all the way from San Antonio to El Paso, and that's before they actually broke the counties up. Of course, now we have 254 counties. But let me go ahead and start here. So you can see Bexar County went all the way out to El Paso. I'm going to try to read my notes and look at the picture here. Of course, you all know Judge Roy Bean. And I don't know if that's actually a county courthouse, but it was a seat of, I guess, some kind of justice. But in 1845, the Texas counties were required to have a judge, a courtroom, and a jail. And in those days, court could be held in tents, private homes, or under a tree. This is Comanche County. And the courthouse had to contain the county records. In fact, it was the capital of the county. The courthouse squares, this is at Atascosa County, which is South Texas, they had the dog run in the middle of the courthouse. And the courthouse often had hangings on the courthouse square. You can see a hanging, and it's interesting. Here a family brings their children to the hanging. So, and I believe this is Anderson County. So it must have been a form of entertainment to come see the hanging. But courthouse squares were often used as a marketplace, a farmer's market, a cotton market, and generally was just the meeting place. This is Hill County in Hillsborough, and you can see all the carriages parked around the courthouse. Some of the courthouses had to build a fence to keep the cows out. But after Reconstruction, the Texas legislature authorized counties to issue bonds for courthouse construction. So the courthouses built these elaborate courthouses. This is Victoria. They built these elaborate courthouses to showcase the economic vitality of the county. And a grand courthouse represented prosperity, and that was the way they could bring in business and make the county grow. The courthouse also gave the county its identity. It became the symbol of the county. They were a great source of pride to the residents. And are any of you from not from Houston? Are you from smaller counties? And you probably know what I'm talking about when I talk about the pride of the county courthouse. So let's start looking at the courthouses. Now, this is Linden, Texas, in northeast Texas. Do you know where that is, Shirley? Linden is almost to Texarkana, and it's the county seat of Cass County. And you can see the courthouse right there with the columns. It's the largest building in the city, except for that building, which is probably the First Baptist Church. Those are always the two biggest buildings. And here's the Cass County Courthouse. It was built in 1861. It's the oldest courthouse in Texas, oldest existing courthouse in Texas. It's the only existing antebellum courthouse in Texas. And in a way, it looks kind of like the White House, doesn't it? Very similar to the White House. Linden considers itself the music city of Texas, so if you go up there, you can bring your chair and sit out on the main street and listen to the music at the County Seat Cafe. Now, let's see here. Down the road is Marshall, which is the county seat of Harrison County. They have a beautiful 1900. Can y'all see? I don't know if I'm blocking the view over there. They have a beautiful 1900 courthouse. It's been remodeled. It's a Renaissance revival built out of granite, stone, and marble. It's now a retired courthouse. It's been fully restored, but it's retired, and it is a museum. And again, you can see the First Baptist Church in the background. I always said, they would say, how do you find the county courthouse? And I'd always say, we look for the First Baptist Church, and the courthouse is nearby. There's another view of the Harrison County Courthouse. This was designed by J. Rowley Garden, who designed most of the courthouses in Texas. Another view, and this is the interior dome. It's been fully restored, like I said. Beautiful dome. And at Christmas, they have their holiday of lights, and people come from all over East Texas to see the courthouse and enjoy the festivities. They have ice skating in front of the courthouse, and they even have ice hockey. I see that's ETBU. I don't know, is that East Texas Baptist University? I'm not sure. They're in Marshall, aren't they? Yeah. So we go down the road, and, other prominent courthouses of the area were Atlee B. Ayers, Eugene T. Heiner from Houston, the Ruffini brothers, W.C. Dotson, Alfred Giles, Nicholas Clayton, and others. Now, this is Henderson County, which is Athens, and I always like their sign that says they have the best people in Texas. So I don't know how they determine that. And this courthouse interests me because it has three sides and three entrances. So I don't know if that represents the three sides of law or what it is, but it's an interesting courthouse. And we go down to, this is Center, Texas. That's the courthouse square on the left, First Baptist Church right down there. Center is the county seat of Shelby County. Have you all been there? They have a beautiful courthouse, and it looks like an Irish castle. It was designed by an architect who grew up in Ireland, and he reflected on many of the buildings he had seen in Ireland. To me, it has a little bit of a Downton Abbey look to it. The building has been restored. It's not a working courthouse anymore, but they have restored it. Inside the stairs, the seats move up kind of theater style. And that's not so that you can see the judge, it's so the judge can see you during the proceedings. And you can see the judge's bench. And behind the judge's bench was a trap door. And if the trial got out of hand, the judge simply went down the trap door, and there was a horse waiting for him, and he was out of danger. Also located on the grounds was the jail. Oh, also they had a, I have to tell you this, they built a women's room next to the courthouse, so if the wife had to come to court or had to be at the courthouse, that way she didn't have to go into the courthouse, because really only men would go in the courthouse, so she was expected to wait in the women's room. This was the jail, which is on the grounds, and it's now the office of the Chamber of Commerce. And one of the local people said, I always knew they'd end up at jail, but I never knew they'd put a sign out front. So, but if you get a chance to see it, it's a beautiful courthouse. It's open. And just to show what, as a comparison, let's see. That's their courthouse now. So, quite a difference. This is Anderson County, which is Palestine. And let's see, look at my notes. It's 1914, a Renaissance revival, and it's a beautiful Texas courthouse style. I mean, every angle, it's a great courthouse. It has the dome, the columns, and so forth. Now we come to Navarro County, which is Corsicana, and their courthouse was built in 1905. You can see the courthouse on the left, and you can see how it just dominates the whole town. And it is a classic revival with Beaux-Arts influence, and fully restored in 2016. It's a working courthouse. Now, Corsicana is famous around Christmas time for fruitcake, of course. And here's the inside of the courthouse. Beautiful marble columns all through the building. But you can still get fruitcake at the Collins Street Bakery. And Corsicana claims to be the fruitcake capital of the world. And they send, at Christmas time, they send about 200 fruitcakes. They send fruitcakes to about 200 different foreign countries. But you could go there any time of the year and buy fruitcake or any kind of pastries. It's a wonderful place. But, and there's another view, the beautiful courthouse. And not far from Corsicana is Hillsboro. Have any of you all been to Hillsboro? Hill County. And this is an elaborate French Second Empire style, considered one of the finest courthouses in Texas, built out of limestone. But in 1993, it burned down. A tragic fire burned the entire courthouse, as you can see. But the courthouse was fully restored thanks to Willie Nelson. And Willie Nelson lived in Hillsborough County, and he led the fundraising efforts to restore the county. And many of you may not know this, but Willie Nelson also attended Baylor for several years, and I think he and Baylor had a disagreement over some things, and they parted company. So I wanted to read you a quote on how people love their courthouses, and this is what one local person said about the courthouse when we interviewed him. Let me find my notes here. He was a World War II veteran, and he said, that courthouse means so much to the community. When I came home from World War II, I rode the bus in from Waco, and when we came over the hill and I saw the courthouse clock tower all lit up at night, I knew I was home, home at last. So they have a great feeling for their courthouses. But this one was fully restored. There they're restoring the clock tower, and that's what it looks like today. It's the inside. It's beautifully done on the inside, their beautiful clock tower. And there's the wide angle, and you can see it for miles around. Now, this is Comal County, New Braunfels, considered one of the most picturesque town squares in Texas. And up there on the right, you can see their courthouse. And let me look at my notes here. It was built in 1898. It's a Romanesque revival built out of limestone, built by J. Raleigh Gordon. And better view of the courthouse. There's the main entrance. There's the band shell across the street. Still a beautiful, beautiful town square. Now, when we think of New Braunfels, we think of, you know, tubing down the rapids, a leisurely slow journey down the Comal River or the Guadalupe. Unfortunately, these days, that's changed. This was a recent holiday weekend, so if you're going to go for tubing down the river, I don't know if you can even see the water there. But many of the great Texas courthouses are referred to as Victorian style, but Victorian refers to an era. It's not an architectural style, but a Victorian courthouse does have lots of ornamentation. Okay, this is Bexar County, San Antonio. It's a historic view of it. Here's another view, modern-day view. This is the largest courthouse in Texas, and it's known for the Beehive Tower up there on the left. It's the only courthouse that has a tower like that. And a lot of people compare it to a medieval castle. There's one of the restored courtrooms. What do you think about that courtroom, Greg? Is it? Does it? Probably meant to. Yeah, there's a reason for a lot of that. And there's the Beehive Tower. Have any of you seen the Bexar County Courthouse? Have you? It's not something you ordinarily see when you go over there, but if you get a chance to drive by it, it's a great place to see. There's the front entrance. Really massive detail. Now, often when I ask people what's your favorite courthouse in Texas, they'll say the courthouse in LaGrange, and I think that's because before the highway bypassed LaGrange, if you're going from Houston to Austin, you drove right past the courthouse, and it was always lit up at night, and I think people just identified with that courthouse. But it's a great courthouse. It's Romanesque Revival, built in 1891, and I like the beautiful colors. It's blue sandstone with red sandstone and limestone, a great mixture of colors. And there are stone eagles on the top. I don't know if you can find them. You have to look pretty close, but it has stone eagles. And, of course, Marvin Zindler made this courthouse famous back in the 1970s. We won't get into that. Another view of the courthouse and the great mixture of colors. And supposedly, according to the picture caption, this is the local Rotary Club. I'm not sure. It looks like, I guess they have a lot of festivals going on in LaGrange. Now, this is the Guadalupe County Courthouse in Seguin, and it's famous because it has the world's largest pecan in front of the courthouse. And not to be outdone, but down the road is the Wilson County Courthouse in Floresville, and it has the world's largest peanut on the grounds of the courthouse. So I guess they grow a lot of peanuts there. This is Atascosa. This is Atascosa County Courthouse in Jordan. There it is, which is down in South Texas, and it's a mission style courthouse, and it kind of reflects the ranch style that you would see in South Texas. Beautiful courthouse, been fully restored. It has the four towers on the corners, and the county seat was generally located in the center of the county. So riders on horseback can reach the courthouse in one day. And you can see, this is the McCulloch County Courthouse, and you can see all the wagons are parked outside the courthouse, almost like they're parked at parking meters or something, the way they're parked there. Now we go down to Brownsville, and this is Cameron County, Brownsville being right on the border. This is their old train station, beautiful Spanish-style building. And it's been restored, and it's their museum. And you would have thought when they built the courthouse, they would have continued that Spanish-style flavor being right on the border. But instead, in 1912, they built this building, which looks like it should be in Washington, D.C. It's a beautiful building. It's called Texas Renaissance Classic Revival. It's still active. It's been fully restored. It has a hidden rotunda. And this is the rotunda. Inside, beautiful dome, and nobody, you can't see it unless you go in or unless you're going to court there. That's really outstanding. Now, if you come up the road, you'll come to Kingsville, which is the county seat of Cleburne County. And Cleburne County is a Texas Renaissance courthouse with classic revival touches. Atlee B. Ayers, the San Antonio architect, was the designer of this. Of course, Cleburne County and Kingsville is all the King Ranch, so they're very tied in with this. And then we come to Victoria, Victoria County and the town of Victoria. It's an 1892 Romanesque revival. Has a very church-like appearance to me. Has a five-story tower. J. Riley Garden was the architect, and He was fired during construction. They had some kind of a disagreement over money, and they fired him. There's a historic plaza across the street. And this was in the Mexican-style towns. The courthouse was not in the center of the courthouse. There was always a town plaza, and the courthouse was to the side of the county, to the plaza. And there's another picture of their town plaza. And they built an annex back in the 60s on the right there, that white building, which has no connection to the courthouse. And you thought they might have, you know, continued the same design or something that was a little more complimentary, but who knows. The courthouse nearly always occupies a prominent site in the county. You can usually see the courthouse for miles around. This is Wharton, Texas. Any of y'all know Wharton, Texas? This courthouse was built in 1889, the beautiful Second Empire-style courthouse. And in 1935, they decided it was too old-fashioned. They wanted to make it more modern, so they tore down the tower, tore off the mansard roof, tore down all the detail, added wings to it, added stucco, and made it Art Deco. That's the same building after they redesigned it to make it more modern. And then about 10 years ago, they decided they needed a new courthouse, and they were going to demolish this one and build a new courthouse. And the preservationists prevailed upon them to simply go back to the original courthouse and the design. There's another view of the Art Deco. I mean, it's not even... Art Deco can be a beautiful courthouse, but this is not certainly not beautiful. So they began a remodeling program to recreate what they had before, and this is what it looks like today. They restored all the towers and all the roofs. Everything is beautifully done, and it's Second Empire style. And it looks like a building you might see in the French countryside, a beautiful building. Eugene T. Heiner of Houston designed it. Can't read my notes here. There are a lot of strict guidelines from the Texas Historical Commission about the restoration of a courthouse. It has to be carefully restored to the same design and function as the building when it first opened, except for necessary modern enhancements. This is Goliad County, and in 1942, a hurricane came through and destroyed the roof and all the towers of their beautiful courthouse. So it's set for the next 70 years with no towers on it, until a few years ago, they were able to raise the money and restore the building. They replaced the towers. That's their clock tower looking over the town of Goliad, and that's what it looks like today. Beautiful building, and... it has a twin courthouse, and that's in Lockhart, or the Caldwell County Courthouse. It's that wedding cake design, they call it, because it looks like a wedding cake. It's Second Empire. When the courthouse was built, it had no electricity, and they had gas lighting. It has a European architectural influence. And you can see on the clock, it has a red lone star on the top of the clock. And that's a Seth Thomas clock, by the way. And when they built the building, it had bathrooms, had two bathrooms, and then the county judge got the water bill for the bathrooms and locked the bathrooms and told people they would have to go across the street or use the bathroom at home. And in 1920, the county commissioners removed the hitching post outside the courthouse, which created such a furor that they threatened to recall all the county commissioners if they didn't return the hitching post. Lockhart claims to be the barbecue capital. Oh, there you can see the beautiful limestone detailing of the courthouse. Lockhart claims to be the barbecue capital of the world, and you can see this restaurant is open 8 days a week. So maybe they have a different calendar over there. Have any of you been to Lockhart? Numerous barbecue restaurants in Lockhart. They must really be the capital. Now we come to nearby Richmond, Texas, which is county seat of Fort Bend County, and this was built in 1908. It's a Beaux-Arts, has a prominent rotunda with a clock, and it was added on. They had an addition to the back, but they did it tastefully, and they didn't destroy the front, and it kind of matches. I mean, it passes, and they had an interesting contract with the builder when they built this in 1908. He had to provide all his own mules for construction. The county was not going to provide any mules. In 1910, Fort Bend had a population of 18,000 people. In 2020, they have a population of 822,000 people. So they have built another courthouse, which they call, I think, the Justice Center, which is in a different location, but they still maintain this courthouse. Now, Fort Bend also has a twin courthouse, Hays County in San Marcos. That's Hays County on the left. The only difference is Hays County doesn't have a clock, and Fort Bend has one. Apparently, Hays County wouldn't approve the cost of a clock. It's still an active courthouse. It's a nice courthouse square. A lot of historic buildings around the courthouse square in San Marcos, but most of them now are bars and nightclubs, which are hangouts for the college students, so the town square is losing a little bit of its historical influence. There's another view of the Hays County Courthouse. It's still active, like I said. And I guess we all know where this is, Galveston, and beautiful beaches. And this is one of their beauty pageants back in the day. Those are quite some bathing suits. This is the historic Galveston County Courthouse. And it's a Beaux-Arts design. It's been demolished, but the columns around the courthouse were purchased by Houston businessman Stuart Morris, and they form one of the plazas on the campus of Houston Baptist University. If you've ever been out there, you'll see the columns in the middle of the campus. Now, Galveston demolished their courthouse, and you would think that for a county that's so known for history that they would have maintained it, but they built this courthouse, which is downtown, and then they decided it wasn't big enough, so they built a second courthouse, which is out by the causeway, but the lawyers and judges don't like it because it's too remote from the other courthouse. And I think I missed one here. Let me see. Well, something got out of order. We'll come back to it. Oh, here it is, Columbus, Texas. We've all been to Columbus, driving out on I-10. And Columbus has a beautiful 1891 Renaissance Revival courthouse with a stained glass ceiling. And there's a water tower on the grounds. Have any of y'all seen that? Apparently, the early contracts for building courthouses, the contractor had to build a well on the ground so there would be water for the courthouse. And Colorado County left their water tower there, so it really adds to the courthouse square. This is the main courtroom. Have you been in that one, Greg? Beautiful courtroom, fully restored, has a Tiffany stained glass ceiling. And another view of the courthouse. Now, people ask me, what is the best courthouse in Texas? Well, I like them all, but this is considered the star of the courthouses. This is Waxahachie in Ellis County. It has probably the most elaborate detail of any of the courthouses. It was built in 1896. It's a Romanesque revival built out of red sandstone and granite. And it's noted for its castle-like tower. It's 9 stories tall. It's one of the most photographed buildings in Texas. They call it the star of the Texas courthouses. There's the town square. And if any of you saw the movie Places in the Heart, y'all remember that movie with Sally Field? She was always going into town to the courthouse to pay her taxes or to try to save her farm during the Depression. Another view of the tower. Some of the detail of the courthouse. I imagine it would be hard to build a courthouse like that today. This is Old Red, the Dallas County Courthouse in downtown Dallas. It's a Romanesque revival. It has 100 colored stained glass windows on the inside. It's a museum. It's not a working courthouse. Some of the Romanesque revival details. This is the Tarrant County Courthouse in Fort Worth. It's an 1895 Renaissance revival built out of red granite with a copper dome tower. It looks a lot like the state capitol. And when we interviewed the county judge in Fort Worth in Tarrant County, he said, the first thing I want to tell you is that the Tarrant County Courthouse is 10% bigger than the Dallas County Courthouse. So apparently those old rivalries still exist. There's another view of the clock tower. Another view of the courthouse. Now, west of Fort Worth is Parker County or Weatherford. Weatherford has a beautiful 1885 Second Empire Courthouse built out of limestone. They claim they have the largest courtroom in the state. I can't verify that. Parker County came to be the watermelon capital of Texas. Oh, and also is the home of Mary Martin and her son, Larry Hagman. And, of course, Larry Hagman, we know him as J.R. Ewing. He grew up in Weatherford, went to high school there. And now they claim to be the peach capital of the world. They have the big peach festival on their courthouse grounds. So peaches look good. And they claim they serve the best peach cobbler. So it might be worth a stop by there sometime. And this is an aerial view of the Parker County Courthouse, a beautiful town square. This is Montague, well, actually, it's Montague County, I get corrected. It's near Oklahoma. Have any of you ever been there? I called it Montague, and I was quickly informed by one of the local people that it is Montague County. And to please tell everybody in Houston to quit calling it Montague County. But it's a beautiful classic-style courthouse, another view of it. Now, this looks like a scene from The Last Picture Show. Do y'all remember that movie? And it could be The Last Picture Show, but this is downtown Clarendon. Clarendon's the county seat of Donnelly County, and that's on the way up to the Panhandle. And Donnelly County built a beautiful 1894 Romanesque revival-style courthouse, and for some reason they removed all of the towers. And this is what it looked like for nearly 80 years, until recently they restored it, replacing the towers, and that's what it looks like today. There's another view of it. It's a beautiful building, and all four sides of this building are a different design. And supposedly the county commissioners couldn't agree on what the building was going to look like, so each one picked a side, and that's how the building was designed. But you can see even these two are different designs, and I don't know, I guess their county commissioners are kind of like ours. They can't seem to agree. They're so proud of their courthouse, they have a highway sign inviting people to stop in and visit the restored courthouse. And more than half of the counties in Texas have family names or they're named after men. There are no counties named after women. However, there are several county seats that have women's names. There's Alice, Sarita, Edna, Henrietta, and Clarendon, which is named after the founder's wife, Clara. Now we go on up, we come to Plainview. This is Hale County, which is up in the Panhandle between Lubbock and Amarillo. And this courthouse was built in 1910. It's a Texas Renaissance with Beaux-Arts influence. To me, it has a real West Texas style to it. They didn't go in for a lot of fancy stuff in West Texas, but it's very businesslike and has a very good design. It's on a beautiful tree-shaded square. There's a gold dome on the top. Has a column staircase, which lets you know you're going into an important building. Has a lot of really nice touches to it. And what impressed me about this is that on the courthouse grounds is a statue of a cow. And I looked it up, and I found out that Hale County has a population of 32,000 people and 148,000 cows. So I guess that's a tribute to the cows. Now, if you go south, you'll come to Somervale County, which is Glen Rose, Texas. Beautiful 1893 Romanesque revival. To me, it has a very New England look. There's another view of it, and it looks like a scene from Little Women. You expect to see Louisa May Alcott scurrying out of there. I don't know if any of you have been to Glen Rose, but it claims to be the dinosaur capital of Texas. They have a lot of dinosaur relics around Glen Rose. Have you been there? Did you see? Has anyone been there? Yeah. Now we come to McLennan County, and of course this is Waco on the banks of the Brazos. And on the right over there, the white dome, is the McLennan County Courthouse. And the dome is shaped like St. Peter's in the Vatican. And one neighboring county resident said, "I always knew Waco claimed to be a religious town, but now they're trying to be like the Vatican." there's a closer view of the dome. It's a beautiful dome. It has the statue of the goddess of liberty on the top. There's an interior view of the dome on the left. And Waco now is mostly famous for Chip and Joanna Gaines and the Magnolia Market. So if any of you ever go there, this is people lined up to get a donut, I think. Have any of you been to the Magnolia Market? Do you like it? Yeah. Have you been, Greg? Oh. Did you buy stuff? Good cupcakes? The only thing I know is their parking, they use the First Baptist Church parking lot. So. This is Coryell County, which is Gatesville. And it's a 1897 Bozar with Romanesque details. Has four red domes with Greco-Roman statues on the top. Has a Tiffany stained glass dome inside. There's another shot of the tower. This is Bell County in Belton, beautiful courthouse. And to me, it looks like a state capitol. It has such a grand, magnificent look to it. There's another view of it. By the 1950s, many of the Victorian-era courthouses had burned down or had deteriorated to the point that they faced demolition. Some of the counties wanted new modern buildings that once again demonstrated the counties were prosperous in keeping up with the times. So many of the grand structures were lost during that time, and they built new modern-style box-like buildings without windows. Ornamentation was considered a social crime. Some say the courthouses built in the 1950s were the lowest ebb of architectural style. They lacked cultural value. For instance, in Brazos County, the county seat, which is Bryan, they had this magnificent Second Empire courthouse with Romanesque touches built in 1892, totally dominated the Bryan skyline, designed by Eugene T. Heiner. In the 1950s, they demolished this grand building and replaced it with a modern style. Well, that's another shot of the building with a little bit of a color to it. Great building, isn't it? So they replaced it with this building. Not an ugly building, but, you know, it could be a bank or savings and loan or something like that. It just doesn't have that grand courthouse feeling. I mean, here you're going to some places important, and here you're just entering another building. Now, just west of here is Austin County, which is Belleville, and they had that beautiful courthouse on the left, and it burned down, and they also built the box-like style courthouse in 1960, which just doesn't have that feeling of a courthouse. Another interesting story is in Tyler, and this is Smith County, and they had this grand 1910 Classic Revival courthouse. Great building, fabulous dome. And again, in 1955, they decided it was old-fashioned. They wanted to demolish it. They went all the way to the Texas Supreme Court, and the Texas Supreme Court gave the county permission to demolish it. Another view of the courthouse. You can see the whole courthouse square. And they replaced it with this building. Not an ugly building, but, you know, it just doesn't have a courthouse feel to it. And now they've decided this building is out of date. So they're building a new courthouse in Tyler, and they want it to look like the 1910 courthouse. That's what it's going to look like, and they want it to look like the 1910 courthouse because they said there's such an emotional attachment to that old courthouse. You know, I said, well, if there's such an emotional attachment, why do they tear it down? But who knows? But it's going to have the dome and the columns and everything in front of it. This is Limestone County, which is in Grosbeck. It's a 1924 Classic Revival made out of brick marble. Has a lot of architectural details. There's nothing really historic about this courthouse, except I used to go through Grosbeck when I would go back and forth to Waco going to college. And it always impressed me that a little town with maybe one stoplight would have a magnificent courthouse like this. And this is the interior. It's very well done. Notice the detail in the ceiling. Here's another view, and you can see the detail along the roof lines up there. Beautiful building. It has that kind of a Texas feel to it. And then east of there is Centerville. We've all been through Centerville going to Dallas. It's halfway between here and Dallas, and you probably stop there for gas. Population 892. This is their courthouse, the Leon County Courthouse, which was built in 1886. It's a Renaissance revival. Many of the settlers of this county came from North Carolina and Virginia. And it has kind of a North Carolina look to it, something you would see in the southeast. Beautiful building. When this court, they had an earlier courthouse, and they tore it down to build this one, but they couldn't move the county safe. So they built this courthouse over the county safe. There's the safe. So the whole courthouse was built around the safe. They never moved it. And there's the courthouse. And now the courthouse didn't have bathrooms until just a few years ago. And if you had to use the bathroom, you had to go next door to the county jail, which the county judge said kept a lot of people from wasting water and going to the bathroom. This is Bandera County. And they are the cowboy capital of the world, and beautiful Renaissance revival. This is Crockett County, Ozona. It's a Second Empire style limestone. Has a clock tower, but no clock. They never put in a clock. And Ozona was built as a water stop for stagecoaches going between El Paso and San Antonio. And Ozona has a population of 3,200 people, and not only is it the largest county largest town in the county, it's the only county, only town in the county. This is Brewster County, which is Alpine, built in 1887, a Second Empire. And Brewster County is the largest county in Texas area-wise. Another shot of the Brewster County. Beautiful courthouse. Let's see. We'll go on. No, let's see. Okay, Marfa, Presidio County. I'm sure we all know about Marfa. And Marfa has a beautiful 1896 Second Empire style courthouse. And what is another reason Marfa is famous? And another reason. What movie was made there? Giant, of course. And there's another view of the courthouse, and there's the interior of the courthouse. It has a very masculine look with the dark wood and so forth. But, yes, Giant was made there, and, of course, all the stars stayed in Marfa at the different hotels when they were there for the filming. And you can see the ranch house in the background. And when the art director from Warner Brothers came to Marfa to design the movie, he was so impressed with the courthouse that he designed the ranch house to resemble the courthouse. It's that same Second Empire style with the towers and so forth. There's James Dean and Elizabeth Taylor. I guess that was a rehearsing or something. And there's James Dean and the director, George Stevens, where that was the classic shot that came from the movie. But you can see the courthouse, the ranch house in the background. And actually, it was just a facade. It was never an actual house. It was just a front. And this is what's left today. It's just the telephone poles. There's their beautiful tower. Another shot of Presidio. Has a salmon-colored stucco. Marfa is very popular not only for the Marfa Lights, but as a popular artist community. This is Llano. There's the Llano River. And off on the right is the beautiful Llano Courthouse. It's Romanesque Revival. Has this Italianate-influenced tower. Beautiful clock tower. This is Mason County up in west central Texas, a small town, and has a beautiful 1909 classic revival courthouse. I've always liked this courthouse, built out of limestone. It was influenced, the architect was influenced by buildings he'd seen in Georgia and Florida. And when we filmed there, I mentioned to the county judge, I said, the courtroom is immaculate, it's so well kept. He said, well, it's easy because we haven't had a trial here in 3 years. And he took me upstairs. They had a dormitory on the top where the men and the jury would be sequestered overnight. And, of course, women were not allowed to serve on juries back then. I think it was probably the late 50s when women were allowed to serve on juries because they felt like women could not make up their minds and it would delay the trials for too long. So only men could serve on juries. But he showed me around upstairs to the old dormitory and where they kept the records. And he said, look at this, and he pulled out a record, and it was a speeding ticket for Lyndon Johnson, who had been speeding through town. And I said, did he ever pay the ticket? He said, no, I don't think he ever paid it, but we didn't know how to collect it from him. So, it's a beautiful courthouse on a beautiful square, but they suffered a terrible tragedy about a year ago. The courthouse burned down and destroyed the courthouse. Of course, the citizens of the county rushed to try to save it, but there wasn't much they could do. They determined it was caused by arson. That's what the courthouse looks like today. They're trying to restore it. They're trying to raise money to restore it. I hope they do. It's a beautiful courthouse. Now we come to Bernie, which is Kendall County, and it's the second oldest courthouse in Texas. It's Italianate style, and there's always an argument between Bernie and Cass County, Linden, about which is the oldest. One of them claims the other's been altered, so it's not really the oldest courthouse. Now we come to Fredericksburg. Fredericksburg has a German influence over there. And this is the courthouse they built in 1882. It's an Italianate. Well, I'm hitting the wrong buttons. We'll get back there in a minute. There it is. Well, there it is. No, I'm not going to touch it. Okay. It's an Italianate style, reflects the German-European heritage of the town. And in 1939, they decided to replace it with this building. And to me, it's called a modern or modern style. It's an institutional government type building. And it reminds me of those old telephone companies buildings you used to see around town. Remember? Always they were kind of not ugly, but kind of on the ugly side. And it really doesn't reflect Fredericksburg. However, I'll give them credit. They restored the old courthouse, and it's now their library. So if you're ever in that area, you can stop by and see it. Very interesting, when they were building this courthouse, the architect was riding the stagecoach in from San Antonio, and the stagecoach got robbed, and he tried to bill the county for the money that they robbed from him, and they refused to pay it. So they had a standoff about that, and they delayed the construction of the courthouse till they got that settled. The county felt like that was his own fault. That's an aerial view of the of Fredericksburg, beautiful town. And that takes us to the largest county in Texas, largest population. Now, Harris County, we don't really have one courthouse anymore. We have the civil courts building, the criminal courts building, the juvenile courts building, the family courts building, the jail, the jail, the jail, the administration building, the jury assembly building, the records building, and then we have the 1910 historic courthouse. Are there any more buildings we have downtown? So the 1910, well, let me show you this. Well, okay. This was the, let's see, this is the 1884 Harris County Courthouse. It was a grand Victorian style, but they determined that it was out of date and structurally unsound, so they replaced it with the 1910 Harris County Courthouse. And the courthouse, Harris County Commissioners declared it should cost not one penny less than the Dallas County Courthouse had cost. But they turned around and hired a Dallas architect to build it, and the architect had trained under Frank Lloyd Wright. So even though the building is considered Beaux-Arts in design, there are a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright's prairie-style touches in the building and the windows and so forth. By the 1950s, they had decided that the building wasn't big enough. They took out the grand staircase and put the entrance through the basement. You entered the building through the basement. The building was designed to have two courthouses, and they squeezed in 40 courthouses. They had court aides actually sitting out in the hallway at desk. Here at the bottom down there, you can see where they replaced the grand staircase. Do you remember that building when you had to go through the basement? You didn't feel anything. Then the building had really started looking pretty shabby. So in the 1950s, that was in the 1950s, and they built the new courthouse across the street on San Jacinto. And a few years ago, they decided to restore this courthouse. And I'll have to hand it to them. They did a wonderful job restoring the building. This is some of the restoration work. There they are restoring the dome. And this is what it looks like today. And you can see the grand staircase has been replaced. It's a magnificent building. This is one of the interior courtrooms. It's now the Court of Appeals meets there. But everything is done exactly the way it was in 1910, right down to the color scheme. The county fathers had covered up the rotunda, covered up this all of the atrium to put in more floor space, but this was restored in the 2010 work, and you can see all the marble. There's looking up at the rotunda, beautiful stained glass dome. More of the detail of the courthouse. And this is what it looks like today. It's a beautiful building. If you haven't been in it, I encourage you to go down and take a look. They welcome visitors. You can go in and look around. It's just beautifully done, and I think it's really one of the great courthouses. The front part of the courthouse, it looks very much like Buckingham Palace, where the royal family would come out and wave to the crowds. Other people have said it looks like the Paris Opera. I've never been to the opera in Paris, so I don't know. But it is a great-looking courthouse. I think sometimes we don't appreciate what a great building it is, so I encourage you to go down there and see it. And actually, I encourage you to see all courthouses. If you're in a small town, stop in and look at the courthouse. It really, really reflects the culture of that town. So have we got time for one more? Okay, I've got one more here I'll show you. This is the historic Travis County Courthouse in Austin. It's a Second Empire style. And it's a great building. That could be in Paris or anywhere in Europe. Great, beautiful building. And in the 1930s, they decided it was old-fashioned, so they demolished it and replaced it with this building. And originally, that's the original building on the left. And if that wasn't bad enough, they added this ugly addition to the right. And to me, it just looks like a jail. It doesn't have any of the grand style of this building. So anyway, any questions or...
Yes, Damon. And yeah, thank you very much. That's amazing. Just really fascinating, Jim. And I've been in a number of those and you know, had hearings and trials in a couple of them. And it was interesting when you go in maybe an older courthouse and you felt like you were stepping back in time. And it was really, really interesting like that. And then sometimes you'd be assigned to the newer part and you just didn't feel quite as dramatic walking into the courtroom. But just really fascinating. All that information is just wonderful. Damon, here you go.
Are there any other states that have anything to compare with all these different courthouses?
Well, not with a large collection like we have. I think there's some in Iowa and Illinois, but they don't have as many counties as we do. And some of the southeastern states have pretty good courthouses. They're pretty old, though, but I don't think any of them have the grand courthouses that we had. It's that Texas bravado that everybody wanted to have the biggest courthouse they could get.
And just the variety of different styles,
right,
too, is just so wide and varied. Okay, time for one more question. Here you go, Bill.
We know that John Odom from this congregation, mm-hmm, when he was running for attorney general, supposedly was going to go to all 254 courthouses. And Mavis Kelsey, from Kelsey Seybold, also wrote a book on Texas courthouses.
I forgot to mention that Dr. Kelsey was our consultant on the first documentary we did.
Okay.
And we used his book as our guide, and we interviewed him extensively for that documentary.
Oh, my question, you may have just answered it, but was going to be, were you able to borrow any good stories from either of those sources and probably others too?
We interviewed John Odom also. He wrote a book called Court in Texas. He was very good. Dr. Kelsey, of course, had personally photographed every courthouse in Texas, which he said almost caused a divorce with his wife. She got tired of looking at courthouses, but... Yeah, he had great stories on all the courthouses, and he wrote it in collaboration with one of the professors from Texas Tech University.
Hmm. Corinne, I know you worked in the courthouse. Any comment? What were you thinking when you saw all those?
The Harris County, on the committee. We worked for about 8 years to put all that together, and they, Harris County was really outstanding in consulting the constituencies, which would be the two courts of appeals that were going to be there. But the marble that you saw on the stairways and on the walls, they were able to go back to the original quarry and match that to finish it off.
Yes.
And they got artisans from around the nation that were still doing the craft work that was in that building. Harris County was outstanding in what it did.
I'm sorry, what committee were you on?
I was clerk of court for the First Court of Appeals.
Oh, okay.
And I was on the committee.
Because it's the appellate courts are where they're in there now.
Yes.
So, yeah, you know, in that building, when they built it, I think it was like $50,000 when it was built, and they spent $60 million restoring it. And I have to hand it to the Harris County commissioners and the Harris County. I mean, they really did an excellent job restoring that building. And it's a whole focal point for that downtown legal center. It's a beautiful building. And the marble, people used to go in and look at the marble, and they would see pictures of their families, their ancestors in the marble. You ever heard those stories about people going in and looking at the marble? So go down there and check it out. It's just beautiful.
Well, maybe we'll plan to maybe a field trip down there next year, because
it is
really, really amazing and beautifully done. I think Phyllis, I think the company Dan works for maybe worked on some of the roofing of that too. So it's great. And Jim, thank you so much for being here.